जाए, तुलसी महारानी की जाए, हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जाए, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाए, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादिशुतादिने। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 What's the text number? Srimad Bhagavat, which canto and which chapter? Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 3, talks between Lord Shiva and Sati, text 12. Pashya prayantir abhavanya yoshito api alankritaha kanta sakha boruthasaha yasham brajadbhi siti kantha manditam nabho bimanai kala hamsa pandubhi pashya prayantir abhavanna joshito apya alankrita kanta sakha baruthasah jashaṁ brajad bhi shiti kantha manditam nabho vimānai kalahamsa pāṇḍubhi pashya prayanti rabhavanya joshito apyalankrita kanta sakha baruthasah yashaṁ brajadbhi shiti kantha manditam nabho vimānai kalahamsa pāṇḍubhi pashya prayanti rabhavanya yoshito apyalankrita kanta sakha baruthasah jasaṁ brajadbhi shiti kantha manditam nabho vimānai kalahamsa pāṇḍubhi
Yasam Rajadhi Siddhikanta Manditam
Я алын вирта кандасанга марустата. Я сам браваджа би сити канта мандитим. Набхо виманхай карахамси пандубихи.
Matajis. Pashya, just see. Prayantihi, going. Abhava, O never born. Anna Joshitaha, other women. Api, certainly. Alankritaha, ornamented. Kanta Sakha, with their husbands and friends. Baruthashaha, in large numbers. Yasham, of them. Brajadbhi, flying. Shitikantha, O blue-throated one. Manditam, decorated. Nabhaha, the sky. Vimanai, with airplanes. Kalahamsa, swans. Pandubhi, white. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O never born, O blue-throated one, not only my relatives, but also other women dressed in nice clothes and decorated with ornaments are going there with their husbands and friends. Just see how their flocks of white airplanes have made the entire sky very beautiful. Please repeat, O never born,
O
blue-throated one,
not only my relatives,
but also other women,
dressed in nice clothes,
and decorated with ornaments,
are going there with their husbands and friends.
Just see
how their flocks of white airplanes
have made the entire sky very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here Lord Shiva is addressed as Abhava, which means one who is never born. Although generally he is known as Bhava, one who is born, Rudra, Lord Shiva, is actually born from between the eyes of Brahma, who is called Swayambhu, because he is not born of any human being
or material creature, but is born directly from the lotus flower which grows from the abdomen of Vishnu. When Lord Shiva is addressed here as Abhava, this may be taken to mean one who has never felt material miseries. Sati wanted to impress upon her husband that even those who are not related to her father were also going, to say nothing of herself, who was intimately related with him. Lord Shiva is addressed here as blue-throated. Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison and kept it in his throat, not swallowing it or allowing it to go down to his stomach, and thus his throat became blue. Since then he has been known as Nilakantha or blue-throated. The reason that Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison was for others' benefit. When the ocean was churned by the demigods and the demons, the churning at first produced poison. So because this poisonous ocean might have affected others who are not so advanced, Lord Shiva drank all the ocean water. In other words, he could drink such a great amount of poison for others' benefit. And now, since his wife was personally requesting him to go to her father's house, even if he did not wish to give that permission, he should do so out of his great kindness. Pashya prayantir abhavanna yoshito apyalang kritakanta sakha baruthasaha jashang brajadbhi shitikantha manditam nabho vimanai kalahansha pandubhi. O never-born, O blue-throated one, not only my relatives but also other women, dressed in nice clothes and decorated with ornaments, are going there with their husbands and friends. Just see how their flocks of white airplanes have made the entire sky very beautiful. So, Daksha, Sati's father, was going to perform a great sacrifice. And others were, everybody was invited, everybody was going, but unfortunately Lord Shiva was not invited, although Lord Shiva was Daksha's son-in-law. So here we can see the attitude of materialistic person, no matter how exalted they may be. Daksha is a very exalted person, undoubtedly a very exalted personality, and his name is Daksha, that means he is very expert in every respect. He is an inconceivably powerful and inconceivably talented personality, but because of his pride, or we can see because of his material attachment or because of his materialistic attitude, all those good qualities became practically null and void. Prajapati, he is a Prajapati. Prajapati means the progenitors. At the beginning of creation, at the time of creation, there was a need for the universe to be filled up. Brahma needed assistance. There were all kinds of organizations were necessary because the universe at the beginning was empty. Brahma was the first one, and he had the assignment to fill up the universe with necessary paraphernalia and living entities. So Brahma got these Prajapatis, his children. First group of children came out from his mind, the four Kumaras, who didn't want to get into materialistic activities. Then came out Lord Shiva, Rudra, between his eyebrows. And then came these 10 sons,
from his mind again. And they were the Prajapatis, 9 Prajapatis, and the youngest one was Narad Muni, who was not involved in materialistic activities. So he was a personality who was very, very exalted, and he became inclined towards devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas other 9, they got involved in helping Brahma in assisting him in his materialistic affairs, and Brahma and Daksha was one of the leading ones. And Daksha had a few daughters, and one of them was Sati. According to Brahma's instruction, Daksha got her married to Lord Shiva, but he was not very impressed or happy with Lord Shiva. Because he was materialistically inclined, he could not understand Lord Shiva, who was actually completely unconcerned about all the affairs of the material nature. That stage is generally called Abadhuta stage. Abadhuta means one who is completely unconcerned, completely detached, completely unaffected by all the affairs of the material nature. Nothing actually perturbs these personalities. So Lord Shiva is one such. He is one of the greatest of Avadhutas in that way. Another Avadhuta is Nityananda Prabhu. Another Avadhuta is Rishabhdev. They are so absorbed in their Krishna consciousness that they do not have any material consciousness. They do not have any external consciousness. Our consciousness can be projected either externally or towards Krishna. Externally towards the material nature, or it can be projected internally to Krishna. So these Abadhutas are so absorbed in their Krishna consciousness that they do not have any external consciousness. And as a result of that, they do not have any concern or any attachment to this material affairs or material things. Like often they wander about naked. Like examples, 4 Kumaras. And they're so innocent, they're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that their form looks like just some 5-year-old boys. When a 5-year-old boy wanders around naked, no one actually minds that. Similarly, Shukadev Goswami, he is of course a little grown up. He was about 15, 16. But he also didn't have any external consciousness. Therefore, he was not concerned whether he was wearing anything. He was not concerned how people are looking at him and whether people are laughing at him or teasing him. No concern for that. Same thing with Rishabhdev. He was wandering around just like a naked man. But his activities were so wonderful that thousands of people are following him. So Lord Shiva is one such person. Because he is so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't have any external consciousness. Daksha was in an assembly. Everybody stood up when Daksha entered. He's a very respectable person. Everyone stood up. But Lord Shiva did not. And Daksha took great insult because of that. He thought, he's so arrogant. I am so great, I am so exalted, a personality, everybody offers me respect. And look at this upstart. He doesn't even stand, get up to show me respect. He is junior to me, he is my son-in-law. So he became very, very upset due to feeling this kind of being insulted as such. But actually Lord Shiva did not have any concern what was happening. He was not aware of the affairs in that atmosphere, in that surrounding at that time. So, but Daksha took great insult. And as a result of that, when he was performing this their celebration in the form of a sacrifice, he didn't invite Lord Shiva and his daughter Sati. But Sati, as a innocent little girl, not innocent, innocent young woman, who has a natural inclination towards have some fun, have some reciprocation with relatives and friends. We also have to understand that Sati is not an ordinary personality. She is Mahamaya. She is the controller of the entire material creation. But when they perform their pastimes, they display this kind of frailties at times. But actually these are just some arrangements to enhance the pastimes. So Sati wanted to go, behaving like an ordinary young girl. She wanted to have some fun, some reciprocation with her relatives. And so she is appealing to Lord Shiva, please let me go, please let me go. Shiva had instructed her not to, because he knew what could happen. And anyway, that will be described afterwards. So to go back to the point in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is pointing on, dealing with a few points. One is why Lord Shiva here has been addressed as Abhava. Actually, a name of Lord Shiva, one of the names of Lord Shiva is Bhava. Bhava means one who is born in the material nature. He has such a name because actually he is beyond this material nature. But he has taken birth in the material nature. Therefore, he is Bhava. Therefore, Parvati is known as Bhavani. Bhava's wife as Bhavani. Probably you remember when Keshav Kashmiri composed the glorification of Ganges in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's request, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out 6 mistakes in one verse. Keshav Kashmiri was very proud that he was the greatest scholar, and he came to Navadvip to defeat the scholars of Navadvip, then he would be recognized as the undefeated champion scholar of the entire India. So he defeated all the scholars throughout India and he came to Navadvip, the last place to conquer. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a 14-year-old boy, defeated him. By doing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established his supremacy as the greatest scholar of India at that time, at the age of 14. Keshav Kashmiri defeated everybody and then he defeated Keshav Kashmiri. So without traveling around the world, he now had been recognized as the greatest scholar. So Keshav Kashmiri was waiting for, and hearing that Keshav Kashmiri was coming, all the scholars of Navadvip ran away under various pretexts. So Keshav Kashmiri was waiting for them to return, and one day he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a young boy, teaching something on the bank of the Ganges to a group of students. And so he asked who he was, and he heard about Nimai Pandit as a great scholar. But he thought, 14-year-old boy, why should I waste my time with him? So then he asked, oh, you are Nimai Pandit, so I heard about you. So I heard that you are a great scholar. Nimai Pandit was very humble and said, no, no, I am not a scholar, I am just a... I just teach grammar to a few students. And so Keshav Kashmir then said, look, come, let's have a exchange. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are such an exalted personality, your fame is known all over the world. Who am I to kind of accept your challenge? Rather, let me take some advantage of your association. So please glorify the Ganges that is flowing here. So Keshav Kashmiri, with the speed and the rhythm with which Ganges was flowing, he composed 100 verses in glorification of Ganges. Everyone was spellbound hearing that. So Keshav Kashmiri proudly asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so, what do you think? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, fine, fine, wonderful. Excepting a few mistakes here and there. Keshav Kashmiri was furious. He said that nobody ever finds any mistake in my composition. Who are you to judge my composition? And then he said, tell me what is the mistake. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took one verse, the 64th verse, and in this one verse he pointed out 6 mistakes. And one of the mistakes was, he addressed Lord Shiva, describing that Ganges is coming from the head of Lord Shiva. He addressed Lord Shiva as Bhavani Bharta. Bhavani means, Bhavani is the name of, Bhavani is the name of Sati or Parvati. Bhavani means Bhava's wife. So Bhava is Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva's wife is Bhavani. And he is saying Bhavani's husband. So it kind of means that Lord Shiva's wife's husband, as if Lord Shiva's wife has a third person as a husband. So he pointed out that as a mistake, Bhavani Bharta. So Bhava is the name of Lord Shiva, which means one who is born. But here he has been described as Abhava. It's unusual. He is known as Bhava, but why he is being addressed as Abhava? And Prabhupada is pointing out that here the Abhava means one who is not affected by material miseries, miseries of the material nature. Lord Shiva is not affected by the miseries of the material nature. Why? Because he is beyond this material nature. He is not of this material nature. Bhu, Bhava, this material nature, and he is actually Abhava, who is beyond this material nature, and the affairs of the material nature do not affect him. That's why there is the consideration of Shiva, means completely peaceful. The word Shiva actually means absolutely peaceful. Why absolutely peaceful? Because he is beyond material nature. And so that is the situation, that's the position of Lord Shiva. Another thing Prabhupada is pointing out, and another expression here is, he is Nilakantha. His throat is blue. One whose throat is bluish. And Prabhupada is elaborating that point in the purport of describing Lord Shiva's extraordinary character. He is so merciful, he is so generous, he is so compassionate that he undergoes various distresses and difficulties for the benefit of others. Like when the milk ocean was being churned for the sake of churning the nectar, and at that time the first poison came out. What came out first was the poison. And that poison could have destroyed the whole creation. So Lord Vishnu asked Lord Shiva, so you do something about it, otherwise the whole creation will be destroyed. So Lord Shiva just drank that ocean of poison.
and the poison would have had its effect. Of course, Lord Shiva would not become affected by anything. He can swallow any amount of poison. But again, since he is here performing, he is executing some pastimes, performing some pastimes for the benefit of others, he didn't swallow it, but he held it on his neck. And the effect of the poison turned his neck into blue. So Lord Shiva's neck is bluish because of drinking of poison. And that's why he's known as Neelakantha. And here the expression has been used as Sheetakantha. Sheeta means also blue, dark, whose neck is dark bluish, of dark bluish color. Now why he assumed this dark bluish color, in his, how his neck got the color of dark blue? Because he drank the poison. And why did he do that? Just to save the creation, just for the benefit of the other living entities. That is the very extraordinary characteristic of Lord Shiva. And this is the characteristic of a great personality. A great personality does not care for his own benefit, but he always tries to benefit others. There are so many such examples. Another such example is a sage called Dadhichi. Britrasura had to be killed, and the only way the Britra could have been killed if Bajra, Thanda, was made from the bones of Dadhichi. And so Indra, being instructed about that possibility, approached Dadhichi and told him, you know, this is what we need. We need your bones. Need your bones means we want you to die and give your bones to us. And Dadhichi, he reasoned, fine. Like, if this body can be of some use, sure. The demigods are in distress, and if this body can be of some use for that benefit, for their benefit, let us do that. And he gave up his body. And from the bones, from his bones, Vishwakarma created Bajra, the thunder. In this way, in the Vedic culture, in the Vedic society, since time immemorial, we find how so many great personalities have made such wonderful sacrifices. So sacrifice is actually the sign of a great personality. Sacrifice meaning give up something for the benefit of others. Sacrifice something for the benefit of others. And and that is the instruction Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Janma sarthak kori karo paro upokar. He is instructing that his followers, in order to make their life successful, should do benefit for others. Paro upokar. So there are two possibilities, two opposite considerations. One is selfishness. The materialistic way of life is selfish life, whereas the spiritual life is a selfless life. Selfless means a person who is not interested about his personal interest, but concerned about the benefit of others. And for the sake of benefit of others, he is prepared to make any sacrifice or undergo any kind of trials and tribulations. And that is the sign of a real exalted personality. And of all these personalities, Lord Shiva's position is extremely exalted. Is extremely exalted. And at the same time, you can see what is Lord Shiva's situation.
Vaishnavanam Jatha Sambhu. Of all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva's position is extremely exalted as a devotee of Krishna. He is a Vaishnava. And it is a Vaishnava who can actually be completely selfless. The Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, a devotee of Krishna, doesn't have any personal interest. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, Atoev Shanto, therefore he is completely peaceful. But Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakoli Ashanto. Those who are desiring for material enjoyment, those who are desiring for liberation, those who are desiring for yogic perfection, they all are perturbed, they all are disturbed. Only a devotee of Krishna is completely peaceful. Something is going on, it seems. Oh, I see. Okay. So, that is a Vaishnava. And why Vaishnava can be completely peaceful? Because he doesn't have any personal interest. He doesn't have any desire for sense gratification. His only desire is how to serve Krishna. His only desire is how to please Krishna. And therefore, he sees everybody in the light of Krishna consciousness. He sees everybody and everything in relation to Krishna. And therefore, he is in a position, he is genuinely concerned for the benefit of others. He doesn't care for his personal interest, but he is concerned about the benefit of others. Because he knows, he sees that everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, he sees that everyone's benefit is desirable, because that's what Krishna wants. Krishna wants to benefit everybody else. And, you know, while he is trying to serve Krishna, he is prepared to serve everybody else. Of course, he doesn't do it in the other way. On the other hand, he actually, instead of serving everybody else, he actually serves Krishna. And by doing that, everybody else becomes served and satisfied. In this respect, Prabhupada gives the definition of watering the tree, root of the tree. When the root is watered, then the whole tree is watered. By serving Krishna, he benefits everybody. And at the same time, he sees that everybody else is Krishna's part and parcel. And that's why Prabhupada used to also say that, he used to make the point how the best way to please Krishna is by serving his devotees. Those who are dear to Krishna, if they are served, then Krishna is served. Krishna is pleased. And Prabhupada used to use the expression that love me, love my dog. If you love me, then you'll also love me, love what I love, whom I love. I love my dog, so you love me, you love my dog. And in this way, when the dog is, the master sees that somebody is very favorable disposed to a dog, then he also becomes favorable. And of course, I mean, this was just an expression, but the real point is that the father becomes pleased when he sees that somebody is doing something to his son. He's serving his son or doing something in favor of his son. So, when he sees that his dear son is so favorably treated by this person, he also becomes favorably disposed to him. Similarly, when Krishna's devotees are served, who are very dear to Krishna, then Krishna becomes pleased. Now, is it that we serve only Krishna's devotees? No. Even those who are not devotees of Krishna, we serve them. But there is a different way to serve them. Those who are not devotees of Krishna, those who are
those who are forgetful of Krishna, those who have drifted away from Krishna, we serve them by bringing them close to Krishna. And that is what a devotee considers to be his one of the most important business. Like as a devotee, we try to please Krishna by serving, friendship, expressing our friendship towards his devotees and compassion towards his, to the innocent. Those who are forgetful of Krishna, and that's why they have drifted away from Krishna, try to bring them to Krishna. And Krishna has pointed out that in Bhagavad Gita, that that service actually pleases him the most, because he is like a father who lost his children. How does a father feel when his child has left him? He feels extremely heartbroken and he waits for his son to come back. He cries for his son to come back, to get his son back. Now if somebody brings the son back to him, how does the father feel towards him? So that's why those who are spreading Krishna consciousness, those who are preaching, those who are bringing the lost souls back to Krishna, Krishna becomes extremely pleased with them. Therefore, the best service to render is to preach. Go out and remind people of their lost relationship with Krishna and the benefit that he'll derive by developing their connection with Krishna and relationship with Krishna. In this respect, Prabhupada once gave an example. Actually, Prabhupada was invited by a very wealthy man in India. And this man is related to the wealthiest family in India. They are all related to each other, these wealthy, very, very wealthy families. So this person was very closely connected to the family of, related to the family of the richest family in India called the Birla family. So this man was asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada was actually a guest in his house, so he was asking Prabhupada, why do you just ask everybody to chant Hare Krishna and dance, and why don't you do something that would really benefit people, benefit the society? His point was, why don't you open hospitals and do some social work and to uplift mankind, and that is the real beneficial activity, benevolent activity. In response, Prabhupada said, look, you are so closely related to Birla family. Now, if one of the sons of Birla becomes mad and runs away from the home, as a mad person, he wouldn't know who he is, where his house is. He would be completely lost. And when he just goes out like that, he'll be completely lost without any understanding of who he is and what he is. And as a madman, like, he'll undergo so many difficulties and trials and tribulations. He won't even get some food. In order to get some food, he'll have to beg. People will humiliate him, they will torture him, they will insult him. Now if you see him in that condition, will you just give him 5 rupees and tell him go and have a meal? Or will you just tell him, remind him of who his father is and bring him back to his father? By bringing him back, you are going to solve all his problems, because he is the son of a rich man, very, very rich man. One of the richest men in India. So similarly, all these people, all these living entities are actually children of Krishna. They are the children of the richest personality. But because they have forgotten who their father is, they are undergoing so many difficulties and sufferings in this world. Now if you see them in that condition, will you just give them 5 rupees and say, go and have a good meal? Or will you bring them back to his father? So giving them some some material benefit, some temporary benefit is not really important. All their problems will be solved just by one action, by being connected, by being linked with their father once again, by reviving their relationship with their father once again. So that is why what we are doing. We are reminding everybody about their relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is actually the means to reawaken our relationship with Krishna, revive our relationship with Krishna, reawaken our memories of Krishna, who Krishna is and what is our relationship with him. Just by chanting, that's what's happening. And not only chanting, while we are chanting, we are associating with the devotees. By associating with the devotees, we are being reminded about who Krishna is and what our relationship with him is. And the expression of our willingness to re-establish that relationship is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. A prayer, Krishna, please allow me to become free from this miserable material condition and become engaged in your loving devotional service. So that is why, that is the reason why Srila Prabhupada established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and that's why we all are here, and our only business is to remind everybody about their lost relationship with Krishna, and by re-establishing their relationship with Krishna, they can become free from all miseries, all sufferings, and they can solve all the problems that they are facing in this material nature. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Chandrasekhar. Service is service. Service means whatever is necessary, do that. It is not that when we are preaching we do not do any menial service, or when we are doing the menial service we do not preach. We do whatever is necessary. Krishna loves everyone equally, but for your own benefit, certain service is more conducive to your spiritual advancement. You get it? Like say for example, you are doing something for a sannyasi or a senior devotee. By doing that, you are actually developing your respect, and you are getting that feeling that is enabling you to become advanced. Whereas if you do it for others, you may not feel the same way. Right? That is the consideration. Like how you are disposed, and how you are actually feeling by rendering that service. And also another thing is, by being in close contact with senior devotees, you develop those, being exposed, you develop those qualities. Right? But then again, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is pointing out that the most important service is actually to bring back the lost soul to him. The meaning preaching,
is the most important service. So while you are ironing clothes, whenever the opportunity arises, go out and preach. And don't, isn't that practical? And by doing that, don't you feel great? So we have to understand what is the main purpose, what is the main objective. And sometimes Prabhupada would actually discourage us from rendering his personal service and go out and preach. Prabhupada often used to do that. But why are you wasting your time just doing it? You can see that I don't need that service. Just do something that is more important. Sometimes Prabhupada used to send his servants off, away, to different remote places to preach. The servants came back saying, they were so attached to serving Srila Prabhupada. They came back and said, Prabhupada, I don't want to do that, I want to do this. Prabhupada said, no, go ahead and do that. They gave excuses, even to the extent of saying that, Prabhupada, there is nothing to eat. You don't get any vegetables. All you get is meat. And Prabhupada said, then go and eat meat and preach. That to that extent Prabhupada went. So that is, from that you can see what's the mood of a devotee. Pure devotee. So I think we had a 15-minute grace today. So any other question? Yes.
I get
the point. The actual thing is that everybody, the reality is that everybody is concerned about his own self, right? But we have to understand that who is that real self and how to benefit that self, right? People in general, in the material nature, are selfish in a sense that they are concerned only about the sense gratification, because they are identifying themselves with the body. So that self is being gratified. So that's selfishness. But when you transcend that platform, then you come to a real self, the spirit soul. And then you consider what would be the most beneficial act for the spirit soul. Now that act apparently appears to be selfless from a material point of view, but in reality it is selfish. And the ultimate consideration is selfish with a capital S. Right? Because who is the self of the self? Krishna. So when you look for his interest, that is the self with a capital S. And when we act for his interest, that is the real selfishness. And we all are doing that. That is the ultimate goal of life, to be absolutely selfish. Right? Because when that supreme self is satisfied, then everybody will be satisfied, including us, our tiny self. And that's why Krishna consciousness is the most beneficial act for this world. Right? Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to you. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.